You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Just the word radiation conjures images of danger and potential death from its effects. Einstein was one of the first to envision the use of laser radiation in the early 1900s, but it wasn't until the 1960s that its healing powers were harnessed. My guest is Dr. David Bradley, a veterinarian and fellow of the American Society of Laser Medicine and Surgery. He'll inform us how lasers are being used to treat our pets with everything from skin issues to arthritis. So sit, stay, we'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Bradley, thank you very much for taking time out of your day to take me, as well as the listeners, up the learning curve of therapeutic lasers.
Sure, you're very welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
First of all, I know that LASER is an acronym. It stands for something. What does LASER, the word, stand for?
LASER stands for light amplification by the stimulated emission of radiation. And it's it's an acronym like SCUBA, and we can elaborate on that if you'd like. But yes, the laser, and particularly the therapy laser, this is not a high energy ionizing radiation that can cause damage. As you pointed out, this is a therapeutic modality that actually stimulates tissue repair and regeneration and relieves pain and inflammation.
So you've kind of answered one of the questions is, all right, there's different types of lasers. You know, we think of Star Wars and we think of, you know, the combat type of laser and laser-guided missiles, etc. And those are really very destructive, but these are therapeutic and healing and used for lots of different things in veterinary medicine as well as human medicine. Is that correct?
That's correct. Absolutely.
So what are some of the different indications? So we can use it in surgery, for instance. I know they're now doing laser-assisted spay surgeries, and people go, why do I want to do that? Or if somebody is going to have some other type of surgery, use a laser. Why would somebody want to use that instead of the tried-and-true scalpel blade?
Well, there's a couple of things, and as you pointed out, there's three-way lasers can interact, and a lot of what we think about is just the lasers that burn and vaporize and set things on fire, and those are the high-powered surgical lasers, and that's a photothermal effect. And in surgery, that photothermal effect can be precisely administered to the point where we can literally take cell layers away at a time. So the precision is actually better, but when the laser, as opposed to a scalpel or some other instruments, cut tissue, it also seals some of the blood vessels and the nerve endings, so there's going to be less bleeding and swelling and less pain associated with it. So it gives us some precision, and it gives us some of the post-operative healing and comfort effects. It can also reach areas where a scalpel and other things can't reach. So like the LASIK procedure and other procedures people are familiar with, laser gives us options we didn't have before. We can talk about the different therapeutic laser, how it interacts, but that's a photothermal effect, and that's how the laser works. And again, by making some of the procedures less complicated and shortening the recovery time because of the less bleeding, less swelling, and less pain.
Anyone who's ever had surgery, and I've had a couple myself, you make it through the surgery and, okay, that wasn't so bad because you're sleeping and you have no idea what's going on. And then you wake up going, oh, really, why did I do this? The surgeon must have just been, you know, an elephant running around inside me because I hurt so badly. So laser surgery is less painful and a quicker recovery.
Correct. And it can be used endoscopically with some diode surgery. So the whole trend for surgery, both human and veterinary, for quicker recoveries, shorter hospital stays, less invasiveness with endoscopic procedures, laser fits right into that whole protocol.
What would be some of the indications for using it endoscopically? Because here you have this flexible tube with a camera on the end, and you can send a laser through that and then have the effects internally, so you've never had to open or actually, quote unquote, have your hands on or see it.
Correct. So, and we don't do as much of that in small animal practice, but the equine industry, upper respiratory conditions, guttural pouch and that type of thing, endoscopically for the intestinal tract, for polyps, small tumors, that type of thing. Lasers can be used intra-abdominally, laparoscopically to help seal and cut some other small vessels. On the human side, of course, for upper respiratory, anything that we can access endoscopically versus having to open up the chest cavity makes it a tremendously more beneficial procedure. So being able to get laser energy into an area, whether it's into the upper airway, into the intestinal tract, into the abdomen, or there's some procedures even into the spine where they can go up the spinal column and ablate disc material. So again, small incisions just to pass the scope without making large incisions, a lot of traction, a lot of tissue disruption, and all these add to the postoperative comfort, recovery, and function.
Amazing what lasers are able to do. And you're talking about recovery. So, all right, you think of this light that is going to be cutting or removing layers of cells, but how does that really assist in the healing process? And keeping in mind, of course, that you're talking to lay people, and myself included, who really is not up the learning curve of how does this happen?
Sure. But now we're getting more into therapy lasers. Now, the therapy lasers are a whole different branch from the surgical lasers. Now, in the surgical laser, we do get some of this, what we consider low-level effect that helps stimulate tissue to repair and regenerate. So as opposed from surgery, we can directly administer laser therapy, which is after or instead of a surgical procedure to help with pain and inflammation. These particular wavelengths in the near-infrared range have a direct effect on the body's healing mechanism. Not only does it relieve pain and inflammation, but it directly stimulates the cell's metabolism so that these can heal faster and better. It's not just a faster healing, it is a better healing, which is why we're using the therapeutic laser in such a wide range of other conditions, whether it was a trauma or a more chronic arthritis, degenerative thing, other wounds, neurologic conditions that don't require surgery, dermatologic conditions, and that type of thing. So different lasers for different applications, some have some crossover, but the therapeutic lasers are used specifically for post-trauma, post-swelling, arthritis, rehab, healing, repair, pain relief, both acute and chronic, mild and severe.
It's just fascinating knowing that these therapeutic lasers are helping everything from superficial, right on the top, kind of skin issues, as you're saying, to a chronic arthritis where this animal has been on non-steroidal anti-inflammatories or trying acupuncture or doing whatever they're doing, and they're just not getting any relief. Do you have to stop those other types of therapy, for instance, in an animal that's getting non-steroidals, or can they be used together?
They can be used together, and oftentimes they'll be needed used together. But the nice thing is more often we can get them off some of the drugs and other medications, which can at times have side effects or at certain points have other, the animals may not be able to tolerate them. And as opposed to a lot of those medications, which, again, may just relieve pain or inflammation, again, what the laser can do is actually stimulate repair and regeneration. Not that we can cure arthritis or some of these conditions, but we can improve the environment enough, the supporting muscles and tendons and the joint capsule and the lubrication, the synovial fluid within the joint, and it can slow the progression of the disease. So you will get a longer-term benefit and slow the deterioration and avoid some of the side effects. So it's not only a better healing and a better function, but again, less side effects, and it slows the deterioration where we can delay or minimize the drugs that are needed.
Dr. Bradley, one of the things we had talked about very briefly was using it for skin conditions. How does it work on skin conditions? I mean, if it wasn't for allergic dogs and cats in Southern California in particular, where I am, there would be half as many veterinarians because it is such a common problem. Will it work for something like allergies? Is it infections? Is it just wounds? What can lasers do for skin issues? What kind?
Sure. And I'm in Southern Florida, so yes, I'm in the same boat where, yes, every other patient has probably got a skin problem. Probably every patient does. It's just a matter of degree. But so we are obviously not curing allergies with the laser, and obviously the skin is just the local manifestation of a systemic type of disease. So we still need to do what we can to help minimize the allergic response through hyposensitization or avoiding allergens or bathing and that type of thing. But when the skin does flare up, that irritation and that infection and that inflammation can be controlled and moderated, and again, so that we don't need as many drugs, we can minimize the drugs and repair things faster. So in addition to, say, hot spots and allergic dermatitis and inflammation related to that, there's a whole host of other dermatologic things from trauma and burns and surgery. But the pododermatitis, the anal sacculitis, chronic ear conditions, which again is an even more local problem, often related to allergies. But again, if we can help control the body's immune system so that it doesn't flare up quite as severely, if we can help control the yeast and the bacteria so that the secondary changes that create even more of a problem than the allergy irritating the ear. These animals are much more comfortable, have much less odor, much less of a chronic problem. And it can, again, as you said, these are often used in adjunct with your antihistamines, possibly antibiotics, allergy testing, topicals, bathing, and everything else we do. But it can take them to a level where it's much less severe, doesn't recur as often, and these animals live a much more comfortable life, and so everyone is happier.
Sounds fabulous. So now you and I are on different coasts of the United States, both have lots of solar radiation, and we know that radiation can damage the skin. Does laser therapy, because it's being applied to the skin, does it hurt? Does it hurt the skin?
Again, these are different wavelengths, and this is a low-energy wavelength. These are infrared wavelengths that do not have enough energy to cause damage to the cells. So these wavelengths are specifically used to help heal and regenerate. So as opposed to the damaging rays of the sun that damage by creating enough energy to damage DNA and RNA and other molecular structures, these low energy and low wavelengths, similar to things like radio waves, those are another part of the electromagnetic spectrum. But again, because they're so low energy and such long waves, they have no biological or physiologic harmful effects. So these infrared wavelengths in the lower energy of the spectrum don't have any harmful effects. And one of the very strong mantras of laser therapy is no untoward effect on healthy tissue. There's a huge margin of safety, and yet we get all the positive biological responses, again, how these particular wavelengths directly stimulate tissue repair and regeneration, similar to things like photosynthesis and vitamin D production in the skin that have very positive effects. These wavelengths in our body directly stimulate our cells to heal and repair while relieving pain and inflammation. And that's why, one, they're so safe, and two, why there's such a broad spectrum of activity, especially now that, as you said, with these higher power wavelengths, we can get these energies deeper into the tissue, and as opposed to just healing skin, we can heal other deeper structures, musculoskeletal, neurologic, bones, ligaments, tendons, joints, that type of thing.
It seems like there's no end to what lasers can be used for.
That's what's been the exciting thing, and that's what's grown over the years as our understanding of laser and as the technology has improved to deliver the energy into places, and both the therapy and the surgical, and as you see in other industries, our communications, our diagnostics, laser light can have a lot of beneficial effects and factors for us. And now that we can harness it and we can deliver it and we control it better and we understand it more and get it to the areas we need, again, it is growing in what we can use it for, and understanding how it can heal and directing it in the right ways is giving us a wider range of applications, more clinical benefits for our patients.
I'm talking to Dr. Bradley at the moment, and he's really informing you, me, and anyone who has a pet or has aches and pains themselves, it sounds as though the effects in people are just as marvelous. So we've been talking about therapeutic lasers, surgical lasers. We're going to take a short break, be right back, and learn more about how these healing light can really make a major difference for so many different conditions. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Hey there, pet parents. This is Christy Vaughn, host of The Doggy Dish. Do you love your furry companion? Do you love making him or her healthy treats but can't seem to find the time? Great news. The Doggy Dish is the perfect show for you. Every episode is chock full of healthy and easy recipes that are made with ingredients you most likely have on hand. Tune into The Doggy Dish for yummy and healthy recipes for your canine kids.
Every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Bradley, thank you so much again for being with us today. Could you please give us a little background about where you've come from? So you're a veterinarian. How did you get involved in lasers?
I practiced for a lot of years, and lasers first got introduced into the veterinary market, mainly on the surgical side. Surgical lasers were introduced probably over 15 years ago, and I liked surgery. So I tried the laser. It clicked with me, per se. It allowed me to do procedures that I couldn't do or do as well. It allowed the procedures that I was doing to be less painful, less swelling, so the complications were less. And in doing so, I got excited and offered my services to other veterinarians to help teach and train and educate them on it. And it led into kind of a tangent from day-to-day practice where I could do some consulting. And I got to work with a lot of different laser companies, laser specialists, both human and veterinary, both surgical and dental and aesthetic lasers. And then in the last 7-8 years, the new therapeutic lasers, particularly higher power therapeutic lasers, which have a broader range of applications, became available. I researched them, had the opportunity to work with, again, several different companies, found the products I liked. But as far as a modality, the therapeutic laser has truly expanded our armamentarium of available modalities to help things, repair things, and improve things and treat things. And just like what the LASIK procedure has done for ophthalmology, it doesn't eliminate glasses and contacts, but again, it's given us an option we didn't have. These therapeutic lasers as well as surgical lasers give us options, help us improve and resolve conditions that we couldn't. And so it's just, as you said before, a very exciting field, and it's a nice diversion from the day-to-day. And so I get to see a lot of different patients and clinics and work on a lot of different animals and conditions and kind of stay at the front of what I, you know, is a new and cutting-edge modality here. So it's been a fun excursion.
Dr. Bradley, what company are you with right now?
Right now I'm with K-Laser. They were one of the first companies in the United States to get FDA clearance with these newer higher-powered Class 4 lasers, and I like their philosophy. They continue to raise the bar on both the product and the research and keep an open mind to look at what's new and what can we do to improve it and not settle into this is all our laser can do, so we'll just stick with that modality. So we continue to improve and grow as the science grows and bring out new products and expand our knowledge so that we can educate other veterinarians that, yes, this is not just for skin or not just for arthritis or not just for disc disease. There's other areas where we can use a laser. So that's both the products and the philosophy of the company makes it a very comfortable fit for me at this time.
Listening to all of the different indications for using these lasers, it almost seems too good to be true. And we all like immediate gratification. How long does it typically take to see an effect? For instance, let's go from a skin condition to a chronic arthritis. What can a pet owner expect? What can a veterinarian expect?
Yes, it is something that does take some time on some cases. The nice thing is the laser is very effective very quickly. So it is one of those things that it does add some skepticism because it is so safe and there are such a wide margin of things that you can use. But very commonly, we will see some improvement within one or two treatments. If by the third or fourth treatment we're not seeing improvement, then it's something that actually makes me take a second look, because better than 90% of anything we point the laser at is showing some sort of improvement, meaning, yes, things are getting better, yes, we're on the right track and heading in the right direction. Depending on the severity, things only take 4 to 6 treatments, much like simple infections, simple injuries. They don't take long to heal. More chronic injuries, more severe injuries or that will take more treatments, just like any other protocols or medications or surgery. But the nice thing is we're seeing positive improvements or acceleration of healings within 3 to 4 treatments on better than 90% of patients. And that's even when some of our other current treatments and modalities, whether surgical or drugs or other type of therapies, have failed or only gotten conditions so far. When we add laser to the protocol, we get them to the next level, or again, are resolving things that we couldn't resolve. And that's the real excitement about laser therapy and lasers both in the human and veterinary market.
I would surmise, since it is so safe, that if you have a chronic condition, you can continue to use it time after time and not have to worry about a long-term side effect.
Correct. No untoward effects on healthy tissue. As you mentioned, it was back in 1966 that the biological benefits of lasers were first discovered. So lasers have been around a long time. There's been a lot of studies, and the current mantra is still no untoward effect on healthy tissue, a very wide margin of safety. So even with multiple treatments for generations, there's been no changes in any cellular structures or any indications that down the line possibly, maybe, could be create problems. And that safety spectrum is what's added to the even wider spread application of the laser.
I don't really want you, Dr. Bradley, to go into the real technical aspects of how you can have a laser treat a skin condition or somehow go deep into the body and treat a disc or treat a tendon problem or arthritis. But it would almost make somebody think that, oh, you're going to have a different type of laser machine for each of these indications. And that's going to make it extremely cost ineffective for a veterinarian or an MD to have. What truly does go on? Do you need to have multiple machines?
The nice thing is the lasers are very adjustable. And much like an X-ray machine could X-ray a finger, or it can be turned up to X-ray a hip, it's still a dosage. It's a number of photons you deliver. Or if you think even more simply of watering a plant, you can turn the water down and deliver just a very small amount to water an indoor plant. Or you can turn it up with your garden hose and water a large patch of lawn or a deep potted plants. And laser is very much the same way. It's a dosage. It's the number of photons you deliver. And so even if I, say, wanted to water a tree that's in my lawn, I don't worry because of the safety of the water. I don't have to worry I'm going to oversaturate or kill the lawn. I put enough water in there to water the tree. Yes, the lawn benefits and certainly doesn't get any harm from it. And when I want to treat just a lawn, then I put just enough water to penetrate that depth. So it's going to be this similar type of analogy with the laser. If I'm just treating a wound, we turn the laser down to deliver just enough dosage to saturate the superficial tissue and stimulate those. If we need to treat something deeper, whether it's a broken bone or a joint, we can turn it up, put enough on the surface to reach those tissue layers. And again, because of the spectrum of safety, those tissues that receive the laser energy along the way are not harmed. And quite often, and realistically, if you've got a broken bone, if you've got an arthritic joint, if you've got a sore back, those other muscles, tendons, and ligaments surrounding it are affected, do need some help. They might be atrophied, they might be spasming, they might be sore, you might be compensating because of the soreness. And that's, again, why the laser has so much benefit, because everything in the area is going to feel better, heal better, and support and help heal the structure underneath it.
It definitely sounds like a win-win situation, and I love imagery. So the grass and the trees, like, ah, yes, that makes sense. And I think you can see my back as I'm sitting here in this chair going, oh, my back is hurting, thinking, ah, I need one of these lasers for my back. It's almost, again, Dr. Bradley, sounding too good to be true. It must be extremely expensive and out of the reach for the average pet owner.
The nice thing is, yes, the actual unit is expensive, just like our X-ray units and CAT scan units and even surgical instruments and drugs. But the best part about it is because of the wide range of applications and because the veterinarian can use it for multiple different things by adjusting the power and the dosage, he can spread that cost over many different patients over a long period of time, and therefore the cost to the actual patient is going to be very affordable. And depending on, particularly, unfortunately, the cost of drugs are not all that inexpensive as well. When you look at some of the cost of other things, laser therapy can actually be less expensive with less side effects and more benefits than chronic non-steroidals or other medications or treatments. And it's because, again, of the broad range of applications, because there is a positive response and that we can taper these treatments down often to only once a month and maintain a level of comfort and mobility, that, again, this becomes a very affordable treatment, and yet the veterinarian can still afford to buy the unit and pay for it and support it amongst many patients.
How available is therapeutic laser treatment right now in the United States for pets?
For pets, it's very available. It has grown extremely rapidly because the pet owners and the veterinarians have been very quick and rapid adopters. They've seen the benefits. Again, the costs have been reasonable. The results are measurable enough that clients are accepting, the veterinarians are accepting. It is just as readily available on the human side. However, because of the many disciplines, from physical therapists to chiropractors to sports medicine to orthopedics to massage, there may only be a few in each of those groups, so it doesn't look as widespread, but there are probably just as many actual units on the human as there are veterinary. So in general, and if you go to, say, like the K-Laser site and punch in your zip code, a whole list of both human and veterinary providers will come up. And so it is very readily available, and it's growing just as rapidly. Again, if we think of where the LASIK procedure was probably 8-10 years ago, where it was very limited and very skeptical, and now basically if you're an ophthalmologist, you certainly either do it or know where to send for a LASIK procedure. And laser therapy is just about there, but it's growing exponentially, and it's actually at the top of the list of the equipment or modalities or treatments that veterinarians are going to be adding to their practice in the near future.
It sounds so marvelous. I can imagine there's people who are listening to this going, wow, it sounds like it's pretty easy to use. It's really very safe. There's so many indications that I can use it on my pets. And oh, by the way, my knee's kind of hurting right now too. Can I just go out and buy one of these and use it at home?
And the short answer is no. The high power, in particularly class 4 lasers, are what's called a prescriptive device, meaning they have to, just like a drug or medication, if you know you have something, you still can't go out and buy a medication for it. You have to get the doctor to prescribe it to you. So if the doctor prescribes it, you can receive the treatment anywhere you'd like. Again, the machines are very expensive for individual use, but if you're just paying for the treatments, then it's something that becomes very affordable. So it is a prescriptive device that has to be administered and or prescribed by a licensed professional. There are some low-level lasers that are readily available that could add as an adjunct. However, there's so many of them, and unfortunately some disreputable companies, it's just too hard to wade through all those to know if you're getting anything that's going to really do anything for you or if you're wasting your money. So the safest thing would be to go to a licensed professional, have them administered, negotiate the price so that it fits into your budget. And again, the nice thing is that these treatments can have long-term effects, so it does become an affordable modality for you, both on the human and veterinary side, and they are readily available.
Will pet insurance cover this?
Pet insurance does cover it. Some would cover it directly, and then, of course, some just cover it if it's part of the treatment package. So, again, proper diagnosis and proper administration is still the key component. And as you know, sometimes you can have a pain in your foot that's actually radiating from an impingement on a disc in your back. And, of course, if you don't know that and all you do is laser your foot, it's not going to resolve the problem. So that's the other reason why being administered by a professional who can make an accurate diagnosis is, again, going to give you a better result and a safer treatment.
My guest today has been Dr. David Bradley. He's a veterinarian and fellow of the American Society of Laser Medicine and Surgery and working with the company K-Laser. Dr. Bradley, if there is one more thing that you think the pet listener right now should, or the pet owner listener should know, what's that?
It's something that, again, is readily available, and if you're struggling with a problem and running out of options and frustrated with the treatments, look for or ask or inquire if laser therapy could benefit what's happening to your pet.
Great idea. So always look for options. Keep your options open. Ask your veterinarian. If your personal veterinarian does not have laser therapy, I'm sure there's somebody in the area that would. As you're saying, go to the K-Laser site, put in your zip code, and you'll find what other practitioners are in your area. Dr. Bradley, thank you very much for being a guest today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, hopefully you've learned a lot today about laser therapy, how it can be very helpful for so many different indications. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz with The Pet Doctor. Thank you for listening. If you have any suggestions of different topics that you'd like me to cover, please go ahead and contact us at Pet Life Radio, and Mark, the wonderful producer, will get that information to me. So again, thank you for listening. Please tune in again next week. We'll give you some more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.